This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's good to be the oil company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The price of oil has dropped a bit in recent weeks, but it's still roughly double what it was this time last year. That's bad news for drivers and grocery shoppers and, well, bad news for most people. Good news, though, for oil companies. Earlier this week, British oil giant BP announced a 28% jump in profits. And today, three of Europe's largest oil companies reported stellar quarters, including Royal Dutch Shell, which saw income rise 33%. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Shell says that high oil and natural gas prices helped it during a difficult period. Attacks on pipelines and other facilities in Nigeria cost the company 160,000 barrels a day. Shell also lost out in Russia. Last year it was pressured into giving up control of a major energy project there. But Shell is well placed to develop other sources of oil. For example, it's already invested heavily in Canadian tar sands. Jason Kennedy is with the Dutch bank ING.
It does take a higher oil price to give you the good margins from these kind of assets. But, you know, even today's oil price, significantly above what Shell needs on a cash break even. So still good profits at the moment.
He says that by investing early in the tar sands, Shell is well ahead of the game. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Those strong earnings from Shell are helping give the markets a boost this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.2%. Paris's CAC 40 is feeling that joie de vivre, also up 0.2%. U.S. markets were feeling the joie yesterday. In spite of a bump in oil prices, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained about 1.6%. Part of what's keeping Wall Street happy these days is government intervention, like that $300 billion mortgage rescue bill President Bush signed into law yesterday. There are more big doings on Capitol Hill. The House of Representatives passed a bill that would let the Food and Drug Administration regulate tobacco. That would mean the FDA could dictate nicotine levels and other ingredients in tobacco products. And today, Congress is expected to look at laws governing higher education. That's everything from student loans to campus security. Sponsors say the measure would help rein in the cost of college. Mitchell Hartman explains.
The new Higher Education Act has something for everyone. It expands Pell Grants for poor students year-round and adds new scholarships for military families. It makes textbook pricing more transparent, and it increases funding for schools with lots of Black and Hispanic students. Plus, it boosts oversight of student loan programs. Elizabeth Bickford heads up financial aid at the University of Oregon.
There will be real effort in simplifying the financial aid application process. And I think that will make a big difference for our low-income and our middle-income families.
The new law will also make colleges file reports about their expenses and tuition increases. Lobbyists gripe that it'll cost colleges more. They say requirements on everything from fire safety and disabled access to illegal media downloading will keep those tuition bills heading higher. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
Starbucks reported its first quarterly loss ever yesterday. The coffee giant lost more than $6.5 million. That news comes just weeks after Starbucks announced plans to shut down 600 coffee shops in the U.S. The company blamed high fuel costs and less foot traffic in its stores. Some critics say that lack of foot traffic is Starbucks' own fault because the company expanded so fast and the stores started cannibalizing their own customers. Take this clip from Best in Show.
We met at Starbucks, not at the same Starbucks, but we saw each other at different Starbucks across the street.
I remember what I was drinking when I met you. It was a grande espresso.
That's right, and I thought that was really sexy.
Yeah.
And it seems Starbucks' recent troubles have done something kind of sexy to its brand appeal. So says commentator Rob Walker.
Some say Americans just won't get together and organize to support a community cause. It isn't so. Folks are banding together in big cities and small towns to make a difference. No, they aren't beautifying a park or commissioning public artworks. They're trying to convince a multinational corporation not to close up one of its thousands of locations. They're fighting to save our Starbucks. Reports about this grassroots movement started popping up when the company revealed which of the 600 Starbucks outlets, out of more than 11,000 in the United States, it intends to shutter. From Newark to Seattle, from Kingsley, Texas to Blaine, Minnesota, people are writing letters, starting petitions in the streets, and at yessaveourstarbucks.com, they're also throwing around words like heartbroken and devastated. Some call Starbucks a place to meet and talk, but others make a different point. It's not just our inalienable right to $4 lattes, it's that Starbucks is an important symbol of economic progress, even a form of validation for a neighborhood. To close one would apparently scare off development and wound the polis. As one commentator bluntly put it, it's a status thing. What a remarkable turnabout this is for the Starbucks brand, which has been troubled for a while now, if the stock price is any guide. And wasn't it just yesterday that The Onion ran a satirical item about a Starbucks opening inside another Starbucks and that vandalist activists considered it a symbol of global capitalism run amok? Well, now apparently it's evolved into a symbol of community pride and economic vitality. Maybe this says something promising about Starbucks' future, but I wonder what it says about the future of American community. Can you imagine a similarly widespread Save Our Library campaign, for instance? Or have we reached the point that the most important symbols of community strength are, in fact, publicly traded megacorporations? I guess we'll have to let the market sort that one out.
Rob Walker writes the Consumed column for the New York Times Magazine. His latest book is Buying In, the secret dialogue between what we buy and who we are. And we'd like to know a little bit more about who you are and what you think. Send us an email at letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.